The views in this podcast are those of the contributors, not of Q1 Media. You're listening to the Gotcha Movies podcast, the official podcast of GotchaMovies.com. I'm Ryan Oliver.
And I'm Jenny Nolf.
How's your weekend going so far?
It's been rainy in Austin, and the cold front came through, so really awesome.
Oh, I'm really jealous. It's still super hot over here in Oregon, and I'm waiting for the, or at least in the Portland area. I know, no, it's really crazy, and but hopefully it's, summer here usually lasts from June to September, so hopefully the cold weather will be coming very, very soon.
Should be, at least for you. This is going to be like a treat until like November, maybe, if we're lucky.
And it'll get hot again?
It'll probably get hot again very soon, and then it won't be cold until, like, Christmas.
Oh, nice. Well, a little bit of cold there, here and there. But anyway, this is going to be a pretty loose episode. I don't really think... this week for releases is pretty lame. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. I have no interest in dolphin movies or in No Good Deed. So, that's the movie, right? No Good... No.
No Good... Yeah, No Good Deed with Idris Elba.
Okay, yeah. The title is so weird.
Yeah, it's like a home invasion movie, but I don't know. It sounds like it's an Adam Sandler comedy. Like, it's just a weird, weird title. And yeah, Dolphin Tale, no interest in. So we have one review from this week. We have a early review for a movie coming out next week, because I think our next week episode is going to be very, very review heavy, since there's like four major releases out next week. But before we get into that, what have you been catching up with anything lately? Any interesting films?
Honestly, no.
Oh, no.
That makes me sound really sad, but nothing has come out that's interested me. And I feel like I've been mostly watching stuff at home, like X-Files.
Oh, well, you can't go wrong with that. That's a pretty fair trade.
I feel like it is. It's a good one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most of the things I've been catching up with most recently have been at home, either older films or just movies that I've caught on Redbox or Netflix recently. But I've actually caught up with quite a bit, I think, since the last time we recorded. I finally watched Borgman. I just finished it today. Was quite a big fan of that one, which I know you really liked that as well.
I did. Yeah. I really thought it was really strange. It's totally up my alley in the strange foreign home invasion weird subgenre.
But it's like a weird dark fairy tale in the way that it's presented. And I really, really like that about it. It's kind of like when we talked about, oh my God, I think it was our fourth podcast, talk about a while ago, when we talked about Big Bad Wolves being in that similar kind of fairy tale vein, but with a dark genre twist.
Oh yeah, they. I mean, they're like they have that in common, but at the same time, they're not the same movie at all. Like, I feel like Big Bad Wolves is a little bit more, not relatable, but
accessible. I think it's a lot.
Accessible. Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very straightforward story, but with an interesting kind of spin on it. But that's what I mean. They're very bare bones what they have in common, but. Yeah, because Borgman's just really, like, odd and funny and creepy, but, and like I said, I just finished it, so I'm really just kind of mulling it over, but I was quite a big fan of it.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely interesting, and one of my favorite recent Drafthouse films releases, at least.
Yeah, mine too. I still really liked The Visitor, which I know was just, like, a film they re-released and found, but I was quite a big fan of that one, but oh, go ahead.
Oh, I said I haven't seen that.
You still should see it. It's insane.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as original films that they've, or not original, not that it wasn't, but like as far as recent films that they've just distributed, I would agree. It was my favorite as well. What else did I watch? I watched Proxy, finally.
Did you like it?
I did like it. I thought it was pretty interesting. As well, I feel like interesting is going to be the word of the day on this podcast, but but I thought it was really, also like Borgman, just really weird and just kind of unpredictable in every single regard, and I just thought that was really, I liked it. I definitely liked it.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch it since it got on Netflix Instant, It's not found footage though, right? It's just really independent. It's Joe Swanberg.
Yes, yes. And well, Joe Swanberg is in it, but he didn't write or direct it. It was a guy named Zach Parker who.
Did he produce it though?
He might have produced it, but he's in it. And yeah, I definitely liked it better than the Netflix reviewer who said, don't watch anything with Joe Swanberg, or I'd rather, like, what?
There was You're not giving that comment any justice. It was so funny.
No, I'm really not. It said, like, break the DVD in half, and then break that halves in halves, and then bury it in the yard, or something like that.
A little bit of backstory on this, I noticed Proxy was on Netflix Instant, and I put it on the site / told Ryan, and in the process of telling Ryan, I found this comment about Joe Swanberg that was like, don't watch any movies he's in, and yeah, break the DVD in half, bury it, and like burn it, and it cracked me up.
Yeah, it cracked me up too, and I thought it was, I thought it was Drinking Buddies, or like the last film he did in between Drinking Buddies and Happy Christmas, but it turned out to be No, I thought it was Your Next. I thought it was Your Next that comment was on, but it was not.
Right. Because Your Next is also on Netflix Instant. Yes. I think they came out the same week.
Yes, I believe they did. Yes. And yeah, I assumed it was that one, but it wasn't. Which is another film that, if people haven't seen, should check out on Netflix.
Your Next.
Yes, me too. I probably saw the funniest movie I've seen this year, which is Winter's Tale.
That's one way to sitcom.
Did you ever see it?
I wanted to, but then it came in and out of theaters so fast, and I was really lazy, and I didn't want to go see it on a weekday because that's the only time I had to see it.
Mm-hmm. I think you might have.
I originally was really captivated by the trailer and Neil Gaiman's review of it, because it kind of looked like a Neil Gaiman movie, but then reviews kind of made me think it wasn't like a Neil Gaiman movie.
Oh, no. This movie is. It was not something I was really interested in seeing, especially since I heard how much of a train wreck it was. But I'm a big fan of the podcast, How Did This Get Made? And so they did an episode of that movie, and I'm just like, I want to listen to this, but I feel like I should watch the movie first. So I rented it, and it was just like, I don't even understand what's going on in the movie. Like, it's like Russell Crowe's a demon, and Colin Farrell can like give out a miracle for some reason. Will Smith is the devil, and he dresses completely modern for the two scenes he's in, but one of them's in 1916. So it doesn't make any sense at all. But I was laughing hysterically throughout the whole movie. But I know it was not supposed to be a comedy.
Well, at least you enjoyed it.
Yes, I enjoyed it on a crazy, weird level.
On like a B-movie level?
Yeah, probably more like a D-movie. but it was enjoyable on that level. And then, God, I'm sorry, I've caught up with a lot recently, so bear with me.
You can keep going. I mean, I'm lame.
I watched Draft Day, which I thought was okay. You know, Kevin Costner sports movie. It was fine. It's no Field of Dreams or Bull Durham, but I didn't regret watching it. And then another film that I wanted to like more than I did, but I thought was interesting, but I didn't like it as much as I wanted to, was They Came Together. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
It's, I don't know.
I'm actually struggling to even think of what the movie is.
It's the one with Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, and it's like, David Wayne of Role Models and Wet Hot American Summer directed it. It's like a spoof of romantic comedies, and like, for the first, it's only an 80-minute movie, which is nice, any longer, and it would have worn out its welcome. But for the first 40 minutes, I thought it was kind of clever, but the problem is the like standard stereotypical romantic comedy have become so over the top that they had to go so far over the top of that to even make fun of it, which I thought was kind of clever. But then the last half of the movie got into some really like scatological, like scary movie type gags that just didn't work for me. And so, yeah, it was a valiant effort, but ultimately.
Oh, you know what?
What?
You did remind me, I have seen one movie.
Oh, okay. What'd you watch?
I mean, aside from a movie I'll be reviewing later. I saw this movie called Pumpkinhead because I had to do a review for it on Blu-ray. Yeah.
Stan Winston's directorial debut, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And it was not good. The B-movie thing reminded me of it, kind of, too. And that's when it kind of jump-started. I was like, oh, right. And it's like Friday the 13th. in, like, the plot-wise, where it's, like, kid, like, these stupid teenagers accidentally kill a kid, and then this demon thing comes after them. And it was so bad in the plot. I was just, I couldn't believe how, like, generic it was.
Were the special effects good, though?
Yeah, that was, like, the really cool thing about the movie is, like, while it had this super generic plot, like, the lighting was really cool. It was, like, all orange and black and kind of Halloween-ish. And then the special effects were really awesome. They're practical. So I always am a fan of that.
Yeah.
And I definitely think it's, like, one of those movies you need to, like, watch in a group, like, around Halloween and just laugh. Because you don't need to listen to the movie, like, in the dialogue. There's no point.
Yeah. No, I really want to see it. I saw that Shout Factory released that Blu-ray recently. And I kind of was thinking of picking it up. But I was like, well, I've never seen it. So I kind of want to at least watch it first. So maybe I'll find a DVD somewhere used for cheap, which is probably doable, I imagine.
Yeah, but the Blu-ray is a collector's edition, so it's definitely for, like, fans.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, the Shout Factory, like, they put out the, like, They Live Blu-ray and Prince of Darkness and Halloween Season of the Witch, and they're, like, $25 to $30. So I imagine Pumpkinhead was around the same price.
It's about 24.
24. So. Yeah.
$24.99, then you add the tax, and then you add the shipping.
Well, fortunately, I don't have sales tax, but yes.
Portland not have sales tax?
Oregon does not. Yeah, they're one of the few states that does not have sales tax.
I know where I'm shopping.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the way to go. That's why you see a lot of, especially towns that border on Washington, you see a lot of Washington license plates if you go to a store or a mall or something, because they'll cross over to buy stuff that they don't have to pay sales tax on.
Oh yeah,
definitely. The other thing I watched, and it's an older film, but I watched AI for the first time, Spielberg's AI.
Oh, really? You had never seen that?
It's one of the few, if only, Spielberg film I had not seen before. I really liked it.
Me too.
And I know there's a lot of people when it came out who were detractors of it, and
because it was
Stanley Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick was supposed to direct it. Did he even write it?
I think they had storyboards, and he had a story, like, fleshed out. I think he had a treatment for it, but I don't think he had an actual script. So Spielberg took the storyboards and took the treatment and wrote a script, which is, Spielberg doesn't normally write his films. So this is a rarity for him. And he wrote it and directed it. And I thought, I really thought that it held true to probably what Kubrick wanted, because it's very dark for a Spielberg film in terms of its like outlook and humanity and the way things are headed. And, I really liked it, and I thought it resonated with me a lot. Like, I really related to Haley Joel Osment's character. I thought he was great. I thought the movie's great. I thought Jude Law was great in that movie, too.
As the
sex robot, basically. Gigolo Joe. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I was really happy to finally see that movie. And, I was quite a big fan of it.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it. Also kind of surprised you were a huge fan of it, because I felt like, because there was this huge backlash against it, and, like, people who love Stanley Kubrick are like, no.
What's funny,
not the movie he would have made.
Well, what's funny is I was watching it with my colleague on my other podcast, and he was saying that, you know, people thought the ending was a little bit of a cop-out, like, especially the Kubrick fans, they thought the ending really, like, it did the typical Spielberg happy ending, but he pointed out, and I agree 100%, that it's not a happy ending at all, and that was the original ending that Kubrick wanted for the film. So
yeah, it's not a happy ending. I cried at the end when I saw it. Like, that wasn't, I didn't think it was happy.
No, I didn't think it was happy at all. I think that, like, on the surface level, because people thought, oh, you know, he got to spend that one last day with his mother, so therefore, you know, he got the happy ending. But it's like, he's, you know, one day the lights go out, and then that's going to go away. And then he's basically a rat in a lab, because the other more advanced robots are studying him. So I didn't think that was very happy at all. I thought it was great, though.
Well, I thought the visuals in the movie were really splendid.
Yes, I would agree. They're ahead of their time, too, because that came out in 2001, I believe. And I just watched it recently on a Blu-ray, and I was like, wow, this is better than a lot of movies that I see today in terms of visual style.
I think that's because he didn't try to push the boundaries. And first off, Spielberg's visuals are always ahead of its time, I feel like. Even Jurassic Park is, like, one of those movies where I watch it now and I'm just like, it's so good. It looks so good.
It does. It holds up really well if you go back and watch it. Same with Close Encounters, I think, holds up really well. E.T. obviously holds up incredibly well.
And I mean, those all have practical effects, but definitely, like, AI, it's like the special effects in Jurassic Park, where I don't know what Spielberg does, who he works with, but it's like he doesn't know, he knows not where to push and mm-hmm. knows where to make it, like, beautiful.
I want to know what Jurassic Park he worked with Stan Winston. So that says it right there. But AI might have been Stan Winston too, but I'm not 100% sure. I can't back that up. But we can look it up. But yeah, anyway, long story short, watched AI for the first time and absolutely loved it.
Yeah, Stan Winston did that. So it's like a Stan Winston podcast day.
It should be. It should be a tribute to Stan Winston. He was the best special effects artist, in my opinion, yeah. Anyway. The Alien and Terminator. Yeah, great. Great
Iron stuff. Man?
He did do Iron Man. That's right. Yeah, those were good special effects too. So there's only, if we go on to the reviews for this week or movies, I saw one of the films released this week, and no, it was not Dolphin Tale or No Good Deed. Wouldn't that be surprising if listeners were just like, or if I said it was Dolphin Tale and the people were like, what? How did you... no, I haven't even seen the first Dolphin Tale. But the film that I got a chance to see, which you haven't seen yet, is The Drop. It's a new crime film based on a short story by Dennis Lehane, who also wrote the screenplay for it. And it's the director, I can't think of his name right now, but he directed Bullhead. And
Michael R. Last name, can't think of it.
Yeah, it starts with an L, though, I believe. Yes. But saw The Drop. It's got Tom Hardy, Noomi Rapace, and James Gandolfini in his last film role. So right then and there, I knew I was not going to miss this movie just because of that. And it's a very quiet, laid-back crime drama. It's not really over-stylized, and it really is all about the performances in the film. Tom Hardy bartends a drop bar where the mafia brings in money and exchanges hands, and they come and pick it up, and it gets robbed. And so part of the movie is a mystery trying to figure out who robbed it, but that abandons pretty quick. And then from there, it's just a really, like, character study about your past and how that comes back to haunt you. And yeah, I thought it was pretty, pretty solid. I thought it was the film version of the Sarah McLachlan animal abuse commercial. Because basically, I feel like the overall message of the movie at one point was just like, don't harm puppies or Tom Hardy will fuck you up.
Just like Keanu Reeves later this year. Oh.
I still haven't seen that trailer.
Theon Greyjoy is messing up again, killing puppies.
Oh, man, that poor guy. First gets his dick cut off, and then he's harming puppies. Yeah. but yeah, anyway, The Drop was a solid crime movie. The only flaw, which a buddy of mine talked about, is it's got, like, opening and closing voiceover narration that's completely unnecessary. It feels like a throwback to crime films from the era of the 70s where, you know, there wasn't anything like that, and it was up to the audience to try and figure things out. So if it wasn't for that narration, like, I'd give it a little bit of a boost, but overall it's pretty solid. And Tom Hardy is excellent in it, which he's excellent in most things, but he's really outstanding in this movie. And James Gandolfini is really good too. It's a very Tony Soprano-ish role, but he's very solid. And as was evident last year, will be really sorely missed.
Yeah, this actually, I haven't seen the movie he was in last year, and I'm pretty sure you just said the title. But
which one? Enough Said.
Yes.
That one, Enough Said, was really, really good.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of his. I haven't even seen The Sopranos, so. But I definitely want to see The Drop. I like Tom Hardy a lot.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And I like Dennis Lehane. I haven't seen Gone Baby Gone, but I think that and The Drop are, like, the only two of his movies I haven't seen.
Oh really? Gone Baby Gone's pretty strong movie.
I know. That's what everyone says.
And then, that, The Drop, Shutter Island, and Mystic River are all good. Shutter Island is probably the lesser one of the four, I would say, which is weird coming from me because Scorsese is my favorite filmmaker, but it's just a solid movie, I would say.
There's really bad sound in Shutter Island that makes me very angry that it came from Martin Scorsese.
Is there bad? When was there?
It's the rain scene. It's really bad. Like, I forgot what exactly it is because I watched it a while ago when it came out in theaters, but I remember I saw it twice in theaters, and both those times I was like, this is really, it's incredibly bad ADR. It's like raining and you can hear the voices clearly and it doesn't sound like they're yelling, and it's like, it didn't make any sense sound wise. And I think I was in a sound class at that time.
Oh, so you were like really pointing it out?
It really bothered me.
Okay, I'll have to go back and watch it and see.
It's the raining scene in the graveyard.
Oh, okay. Okay, I know what scene you're talking about. So I'll have to go back and watch that. Yeah, I thought it was solid. And this is a big problem. I should not have read the book before I saw the movie. Because what they could conceal in the book was a lot more subtle than the movie. And that was the only thing that kind of bothered me about it.
Yeah, well, it's easier to conceal mysteries sometimes like that in writing than it is.
Exactly. Exactly. It's true. Because like visually you're watching these things unfold, and while it's amazing to look at, like it's visually just a stunning movie. It's like it's very obvious that things are not what they seem for DiCaprio's character. Whereas the book, it's a little bit more hidden, and so but still a pretty solid movie.
It's not bad.
No, definitely not. It's not
Scorsese. It's definitely one of Scorsese's weakest movies, though, that I've seen.
I would say it's probably one of... Yeah, I would say other than that, like Boxcar Bertha, and then, like, I don't love Casino as much as a lot of people do, but, I'd say it's one of his weaker ones, but still, like, one of his weaker movies is better than a lot of people's best.
Well, that's very true.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, fun fact about The Drop, it made more money theater average than Dolphin Tale 2, even though Dolphin Tale 2 made a lot more money than it was in a lot more theaters.
Oh, yeah, Dolphin Tale 2 is in about 3,000 theaters, 3,000 plus. And The Drop's only in 800 theaters, has a better per theater average. And No Good Deed, which was the number one this weekend, was in about 1,000 theaters less than Dolphin Tale and still made more.
Oh my god, like I'm looking at box office right now and it made like 11,000 per theater. Like, it's a lot more than any movie this weekend.
they know their niche audience. That producer, I forget his name, but he did that movie Obsessed, which with Beyonce and Idris Elba, which I never saw, but I heard was pretty terrible, just like I've heard No Good Deed is terrible, but that movie was also a hit. So they know how to make relatively moderately budgeted films and be successful. So I have to give him props for that, but it's a movie I'm not going to see for sure.
Yeah, I definitely lost interest when there's supposedly a big plot twist and I'm like, that's why screenings were canceled. But I get it. Screenings are canceled all the time, but the reason being a plot twist kind of seems dumb to me when you could have just written, oh, please don't reveal the plot twist instead of canceling the screening for it.
Just sign an NDA or non-disclosure agreement, because I guess that's what happened with the Old Boy remake in Portland, that you had to sign an NDA that you would not reveal the plot twist of the movie, which...
Even the plot twist is already out there for that movie.
I know. It was stupid. It was really, really stupid that they did that. But yeah, overall, The Drop was a solid movie, and I mean, as far as everything that's out right now, it's probably the one thing I would recommend. And so as far as reviewing films, you've got a chance to see an early look at a film that comes out next week.
Yeah. Wait, are we going over to my movie?
Yeah, if you want to. Sorry.
I saw The Maze Runner this week, which actually released worldwide in some markets, and I liked it. I read the book. I actually am not that much of a fan of the book. I thought it was just missing something, and it was a little bit frustrating to read because it just asks questions and you never get them answered. And it just feels like the protagonist, Thomas, like the whole entire book is like, well, why? And everyone's like, shut up. And And so at one point, when I'm reading the book, I'm like, shut up, Thomas. No one's going to answer your damn questions. Well, in the movie, they kind of switched that, where he's still asking questions, like, reasonably, but a more reasonable amount of questions are being asked, and it's a lot more action, as opposed to just a lot of him just wandering around and asking people why, which I thought was a nice step up. And I saw it with a Q&A with the director and author, and I don't know, I just thought it was, like, a solid, like, post-summer action movie. It's nothing special, definitely, as far as movies go. The book's really nothing special either, but it's very compelling. The editing in this movie, I think, is my favorite part, because there's a lot of very tense scenes in the maze when these creatures called the Grievers are after Thomas, and I thought that the editing was really spot on, and it felt like they knew how to, like, they weren't worried about adapting the book word for word, and more like adapting the idea of the book, which I thought was a lot better. And they cut out some parts of the book I didn't like. Like, there's telepathy in the book, and I hated that.
Yeah, I remember you saying that the book wasn't very good, but, like, would make a better movie if they did it right.
Yeah, and it seems like Wes Ball, the director, like, once he picked up the book, he was like, I'm a fan, I know what I want to do with this. And even the author, during the Q&A, he said that some parts of the movie are better than his book. Like, the Grievers, for example. In the book, I felt like they were just slugs with chainsaws on them. But in the movie, they're a little bit... People have compared them to, like, Giger stuff. Oh. And I wouldn't say that, but they definitely... What?
Oh, I just said, okay. I was like, oh, I got excited when you said that, and then when you said you wouldn't do it, I was like, oh, okay.
So. I wouldn't compare it. I feel like people were going overboard, but, I mean, maybe yes, maybe no. It does kind of, its face kind of does have this alien feature to it a little bit, I think. But that's about as far as I would go. It looks pretty cool. It kind of has a Transformer tail, which bothered me halfway through the movie, because when you first introduced to it, it doesn't look like it has any of that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, cliche, like, part robot stuff, and then there's Transformers tail, like, midway through the movie, and I'm like, no!
Did it make that awful, like, want sound?
Well, it didn't have the want sound. It just kind of, you see it, and it just kind of looks like something that you would have been in Transformers, except, I mean, the creature obviously is nothing like a Transformer. There's also a lot of blood and guts in this movie, and a lot of horror imagery, which I thought was pretty cool.
Really?
And
and the movie's PG-13?
Yeah, it's PG-13, but I mean, there's horror movies that are PG-13.
That's true.
But it's creature blood and guts. Pretty gross, but it was really nice to see in a movie like that is meant for a younger audience that they weren't afraid to, like, push these boundaries of PG-13.
Cool. That sounds like it's a solid.
It's fun.
Solid movie. Yeah. I probably won't get a chance to see it. Well, at least not in the press screening, because it's the same night as Walk Among the Tombstones, so I'll be going to that instead of this one, but I'll try and catch it at some point.
It's definitely like a popcorn flick. Like, there's nothing special about it, but it's not bad. The casting is really great. I think that was my favorite part of the movie, is, like, in the book, one of my favorite things was that it was so diverse. It wasn't just, like, I'm not sure, if he did this, like, on purpose, or if it just, like, it flowed that way, but there's a lot of diversity. One of my favorite characters, he's actually an Asian, and I like how they kept that diversity in the movie.
Cool. That's good. And we need that.
I think the acting is superb. My favorite was the kid that plays the little kid in Love Actually. Oh, what's his name? Birdie Sangster. Thomas Birdie Sangster. I think that's his name. Yeah. He's amazing. Like, he could read a phone book, and I would listen to him.
Nice. is Jamie Bell in the movie, or did I imagine that in the trailer?
You might have imagined that.
That's what I kind of figured. It was one of those things where I'm like, I think that looks like Jamie Bell, and then I realized I don't think it is. The more I heard about the movie, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not him.
Yeah. No, but the girl from Skins is in it, and she's great. I can't think of her name at the moment, but she plays... Nicholas Holt's younger sister, Effie, in Skins.
Cool. Can't talk. I'm not big into the whole, like, young adult dystopian type films, but is this better than Divergent? Like, if you had to compare?
Oh yeah, I think I liked it more, which is funny because I love the Divergent books, and I felt like the problem with the Divergent movie and is like it's not accessible to audiences.
It bored me to tears. I was like, this is basically the Hunger Games, but without the arena. Like, that's basically what I felt it was.
Which the book, I mean, it's dystopian lit, but like it doesn't feel like the Hunger Games, and I hate that comparison. It's like comparing everything that's with Jim Wizard to Harry Potter. But
right, like, and I understand, but like I meant the visual style of the film. Like I've never read the book, so I'm not speaking on behalf of the book.
Well, I really like the Hunger Games movies, but I felt like with Divergent, they work really hard to try to like just adapt it like word for word, which could get boring for people who haven't read the books. And I felt like in The Maze Runner, like I said, he didn't worry about like adapting certain scenes for fans. I think in the beginning he called out and asked what fans would like to see in the movie and kept that in mind, but he also kept the cinematic quality of the movie in mind.
Cool. That's good. That's good. Sounds like it's good for fans.
Yeah, and for non-fans, I feel like they could enjoy it without having read the book, which honestly...
which sounds like anyway. You don't even have to read the book to get the most out of the movie. Cool. Well, we got that to look forward to next week among the like four wide releases that are coming out. That's so weird why there's four next week, but like in these last 2 weeks, they couldn't find room for like one of those movies.
They couldn't move up any of them at any time.
That's what I thought too. I'm like, why not move Tusk somewhere that's like not as competitive? Cause that one's going to get trounced, I think, of the four.
Yeah, then that's going to be a limited release, isn't it?
It says wide release on Box Office Mojo, which I don't know. Well, how wide? It depends. I'm thinking like Spring Breakers wide, like 1,000 screens or like 800 screens. I'm not thinking like, it's not going to play in 3,000 theaters.
It's not going to be like Dolphin's Tale.
No. Though they both have to do with Creatures Under the Sea, but...
But not in the way you may think.
No. Oh, they should do a crossover between Tusk and Dolphin Tale. That would be interesting.
What would you call it? Echo?
Echo. Maybe.
Oh, wait, isn't that already a movie?
I don't know if that's a movie or if that's a video game.
Right.
Yeah, Echo the Dolphin. Do you remember that game? I never played it. I just remember seeing it. I think it was an old Sega Genesis game or PlayStation. I'm not sure. But anyway.
I'm thinking of Earth to Echo.
Oh, that like E.T. knockoff that came out this year?
Found footage E.T. knockoff. And then there's also Stir of Echoes.
Oh, yeah. I know Stir of Echoes. But wait, Earth to Echo was found footage?
Yeah.
Ugh, I didn't know that. I mean, I wasn't going to see it anyway, but now I have no reason.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, I hate found footage.
I know. It needs to die. It needs to die. A horrible...
It doesn't need to die. It just needs to find a different genre. Like, I think we should do some found footage dramas and comedies. Oh, I guess Earth to Echo is a found footage sci-fi or whatever. But right. I feel like found footage horror is dead.
Yes, I would agree. I think it can thrive in drama. I thought End of Watch was really, really strong, and that was technically found footage.
I saw Creep, which is Mark Duplass, and that's kind of a dark comedy with horror elements, I will give it, because mm-hmm. it's dark. But
did you ever see Baghead? Did you ever see Baghead that him and his brother did?
No.
Oh, it wasn't really found footage, but it also was like a horror comedy, like sound like Creep. Which I'm really excited to see that film.
Creep is hilarious. That's like found footage done right now. it's branching out, which is more interesting.
Did Mark Duplass direct that as well, or is he just starring in it?
I think he starred and wrote it, but I can look it up right now.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I'm pretty much all for anything that Mark Duplass is in. I still need to watch. I still need to watch The One I Love. I still haven't got a chance to see that yet.
That movie's pretty cool.
That's what I've heard, and I need to finish season 5 of The League so I can start season 6. But anyway, this is becoming the Crush on Mark Duplass podcast here shortly. So as far
he's also a pretty attractive guy.
He is. He is. He's a good looking guy. There's no denying that. So as far as like a news roundup this week, are there any news stories that really like popped out at you that you thought was intriguing?
Well, the Serena trailer came out, which is totally Oscar bait. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it was filmed 2 years ago, but once Jennifer Lawrence and Bradley Cooper got on their streak, clearly they were like, let's wait 2 years until Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence aren't in a movie together, and let's release this one so we can have more Oscars.
Yeah, it looks very, very Oscar baity, but it looks solid, I think.
Kind of has that Atonement vibe to me a little bit, like the kind of like really, really deep emotional romantic drama.
Yes. Maybe even teetering on melodrama a little bit.
A little bit. It was based off a book. I think it's really interesting that it was filmed in Prague, but it's supposed to be like North Carolina.
Oh, wow, that's bizarre.
Well, like I could have like not told me, because when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh, okay. I guess because North Carolina is too developed now, or too expensive to film in.
that makes sense. People are going to places that, you know, offer tax credits to be able to you know, to be able to afford to fund their films, or at least get it cheaper. Like, I had no interest of seeing If I Stay, but I had found out, I knew that it took place in Portland, so I was like, oh, I'm kind of interested in seeing that on the screen, but it was filmed in Vancouver, BC, and I was like, oh, no, I don't care. I don't care now. Vancouver, well, yeah, subbing in for Portland.
I don't know, Serena looks pretty interesting. I know a few of our writers are very excited.
Yes.
For the movie.
Yes, a few of our writers are very excited for it.
And I mean, Jennifer Lawrence, I'll watch anything she's in.
Oh, yeah, like you said about the kid from Not About a Boy, Love Actually, that
Thomas Brody Sangster.
Yes, that you'd watch him read the phone book. Same way with Jennifer Lawrence. I'd watch her read the phone book. It'd be entertaining either way.
Oh, yeah, she would probably definitely make it funny.
Oh, I guarantee she would. So, yeah, it's one of those movies that I could complain about the Oscar baitiness of it, but I'm still going to see it. who are we getting?
Oh, yeah, I mean, Bradley Cooper also, I like him a lot as well. I think he is like turned over a new leaf since like The Hangover, and I feel like I like his like more serious roles.
Yes, I think he's I really am a big fan of him now. Have you got a chance to watch Place Beyond the Pines yet, since the episode we talked about it? you should watch.
I haven't had time to watch anything except Pumpkinhead, obviously, and X-Files.
Well, which is not bad, but yeah, you should see that one. I mean, Bradley Cooper and Ryan Gosling and Dane DeHaan are all very strong. Even Mendez is really strong in that movie too. It's a very good movie.
Someone's on my to watch list.
Yes, make it higher. Put it higher on your watch list.
I can't put everything high on my watch list. Then all the other they won't be watched.
they'll just be fighting for time to be watched. And then, as far as Oscar Beatty, I'm really behind on watching trailers. I usually don't go out of my way to watch them unless they're at a movie that I'm watching. But I finally saw the trailer for the Intimidation Game, or Imitation Game?
Imitation Game.
Imitation. I keep saying Intimidation. I don't know why I'm thinking.
Because it's intimidating.
It is. Awesome. It's intimidating. <I don't know. laughs> But yeah, the Imitation Game, the like World War, isn't it? I think it's a World War II set drama.
It's World War II, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to crack the Nazis' code, I believe.
That would make it World War II, definitely.
Well, yeah, duh. I know that. Making me sound like a dummy. But yeah, I just saw the trailer for that with Benedict Cumberbatch. But part of the reason I bring it up, it just won the Audience Award at the Toronto International Film Festival, which doesn't necessarily mean, I don't know what that means, but audiences are really connecting with it. So I think that's going to bode well for its Oscar prospects.
Yeah, it'll at least get nominations probably in the long run. Maybe Benedict Cumberbatch will finally be recognized at the Academy Awards. Who knows?
True. But like, He's great, but I don't know what he's done like on film so far that I would consider Oscar worthy.
Well, you told me it wouldn't have been Oscar worthy, but he's good in it.
No, he's good in it, and I never saw The Fifth Estate, which I know was kind of like bred to be an Oscar bait film, and then never.
I've seen a lot of it. I haven't seen all of it. It's actually, I mean, It's a little bit boring, but it's not bad.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's not bad. It just it misfired on being this awards contender, I guess. From what I've heard, well, which obviously
and Benedict Cumberbatch is great in it. He's like he's again another person that could read a phone book and I'd probably like die.
Oh yeah. oh definitely. He'd do it in his just amazingly deep British voice, and it would be great.
Basically, what we need is a lot of actors reading the phone books to us.
Basically, I think we should just pay them at some point. When we make it big doing something, I don't know what it is, we'll just pay actors to read the phone book.
It'll be a huge YouTube series.
Damn, I was just about to say that. It'll be the next big thing.
But Benedict Cumberbatch, I would be really happy if he was an Oscar contender. Maybe even Keira Knightley for supporting. I love her.
I saw she was in it. She's made a pretty big comeback this year between Begin Again and she was in Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, but nobody cares about that one. And she's in the Imitation Game. I almost said Intimidation again. And Leggies, the new Lynn Shelton film, which I'm really, really excited for.
Yeah, she's been working hard. I love Keira Knightley.
Yeah, I love her too, pretty much outside of the Pirates of the Caribbean films. Sorry, Jenny. I love
the Pirates of the Caribbean films.
I know you do. I'm not trying to...
That's why I like her.
So. I'm not trying to pick a fight. I just... Her character and... what's his name? Orlando Bloom are just not my favorite in those movies.
You have no romance in your heart.
Oh, no. I like a good romance, but not...
Like her in Atonement? Ooh, Pride and Prejudice. I love her.
I've never seen Pride and Prejudice, but...
Oh, she's really good in it.
I've seen Atonement. Really I do like Atonement, but it's been a long time since I've seen... I haven't seen that since it came out. Yeah.
She's just really awesome. It would be really cool if she could get, like, a Best Supporting Actress or something out of it. I don't know. We haven't even seen the movie yet, we're hoping.
yeah, we've not seen it. And, we've not seen it. And from the festivals, anyway, at least, like, Toronto and Telluride, there's nothing that's really, like, broke out, it sounds, in terms of, like, critical acclaim or audience reaction to it that we didn't already know going in. It was, like, that film and Birdman, and there was, like, something else that was, like, really well-received. And it was kind of one of those, like, well, duh. Like, we all knew that going in.
And then this one movie that Ryan can't even remember.
Yeah, I could.
It's like obviously that movie, one I can't think of.
I can't think of it, but it was one of those. It was one of those ones that I was just like, well, of course that movie. But I can't think of it. But Birdman.
Well, I will say that when Tusk got a lot of critical acclaim, I was like, well, duh.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, not in the same like Oscar vein of critical acclaim, you know, but like I knew that movie was going to be well received as well. I agree with you. And Birdman, every time I see the trailer for that, I just keep getting more and more excited for it. I don't know about you.
I just get more and more intrigued. I think that's the best word to use is intrigued. Oh, Foxcatcher. I think you're thinking of Foxcatcher.
I am thinking of Foxcatcher, yes.
Okay. Or The Theory of Everything. Oh, I can't wait.
I don't even know much about that one other than I know it's the Stephen Hawking biopic. That's all I know.
Eddie Redmayne. Now I remember. Eddie Redmayne was, he's been called out for getting, you know, some kind of Oscar recognition for his role.
I haven't seen him in, he's in Les Mis, right?
Right.
Okay, I think that's the only thing I've seen him in.
Probably. I don't think he's actually been in many big movies that... No. He was going to be in Jupiter Ascending, but then that got pushed back.
Well, he's still in it, but...
You won't be able to see it until February.
Correct. When the Oscar nominations have already come out for this year.
My Mook of Marilyn.
Oh, was maybe. He... Oh, I never saw it, but...
I didn't either. But, yeah, apparently he's been getting, like, buzz around him. Like, ooh, really good performance.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those, like, you know, he plays a real-life person, probably looks, you know, changes his physical appearance, and just, like, meets the criteria for Academy Award consideration.
Right. And then apparently Reese Witherspoon is the only one that's, like, the front-runner for any female, like, anything this year.
Which is... I mean, no disrespect to Reese Witherspoon at all, but I think it's sad that there's only one that people are like, oh, this is a surefire thing. And I'm like, well, create the buzz, you know, create it. Don't just be like, oh, it's just this one. Like, I don't know.
There weren't any strong female performances this year. I highly doubt that.
Yeah, I would argue Under the Skin. There's been talk about Shailene Woodley for The Fault in Our Stars. And as much as I don't like that movie, I think she's really good in it. And I would not be hurt if she was nominated.
I'd be personally hurt if she wasn't nominated.
Yes, for you, I can imagine you would be personally hurt. But I'm like, when her
name, Whitebird and a Blizzard.
Yeah, that's true. That's coming up here in a couple weeks.
Obviously, Jennifer Lawrence. We don't even need to see the movie. We just know.
we just know.
Like, if it's not going to be for Serena, it's going to be for Mockingjay. Let's be real.
Right.
She's not going to get by this year without getting a nomination.
We'll see. We'll see.
If she doesn't, it'll be a surprise year. Let me tell you.
Speaking of like Oscar bait, another interesting news tidbit that came out, just David Fincher said candidly during an interview for the Gone Girl rounds that he believes that at some point Sony will eventually make The Girl Who Played with Fire. Whether or not he's the one who makes it, we don't know, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think that was interesting too. I actually personally didn't like his version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. I know there's a lot of people out there that did. So, I mean, it made a decent amount of money. It's not like it failed.
No. But it also, it cost $100 million to make, and I think it just barely made $100 million domestically.
Yeah, but that's because they put, like, a really harsh movie out on Christmas. Who does that?
Yeah, but I went and saw it, not on Christmas, but I saw it opening day. But I'm weird like that.
I thought it came out on Christmas.
No, it came out the 21st or 22nd of that year. It's like that and Mission Impossible and Tintin, I think, all came out on the same day.
It was playing against really hard movies.
Well, yeah. But it made more than War Horse. That's the most important thing of the like Oscar bait films that came out that week.
I like War Horse.
Oh, no, I did not like that movie. But that's just me. I don't know. I'm not a big horse guy, for one.
I just like Tom Hiddleston.
Well, yeah, I like Tom Hiddleston. Benedict Cumberbatch is in that film too, right? Or am I imagining? Okay.
Maybe we're imagining this because I almost said that too.
I thought he was, but maybe I'm wrong. But it was like, I don't know. It was just one of those movies that I feel like Spielberg was like comfortably in the like Oscar bait machine. And I just didn't feel anything while watching it. But
Benedict Cumberbatch is in War Horse, so you're not wrong.
What? Oh, he is in War Horse. Okay, cool. Yeah, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I liked. It's not, like, my favorite David Fincher movie. I think he's one of my favorite filmmakers. He's done four films that I would say are masterpieces. And then he's done a couple that are, like, solid genre movies that were elevated because of his skill as a director. And I think Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is one of those type ones.
Really? Because I actually liked the Swedish version of it a lot more.
I like the Swedish one better, but his skill, just his stuff. I love Fincher's style, his visual style. And
I will give him that movie was very pretty to watch. I don't think the script was okay, but that's not his fault necessarily.
No.
Also, I thought it was really bizarre that everyone had different accents.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. It's in Sweden, but yet like Daniel Craig is still just Daniel Craig and with his British accent, and then Noomi Rapace, she's in the Swedish version. Rooney Mara like kind of sounded like she was doing a British accent too, and like even though I thought Rooney Mara was really good, Daniel Craig was okay. But yeah, I mean, again, the technical level, the editing in the movie, it won an Oscar for editing, rightfully so.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very well edited, and it's very well shot. It's a very pretty movie, and I don't understand why Sony wouldn't move forward with it, because, I mean, it did make a nice chunk of money, but the thing is if they wait too long, no one's going to want to see the second one.
No, I mean, I feel like
the readers of the book won't care anymore.
That's what I'm feeling. I'm already feeling like, you know, I'm a fan of those books, and I'm kind of like, I don't really, you know, I already have the Swedish versions. I don't, like, I'm not in a hurry to see this version. And I know Fincher's not signed on for the next two, but Rooney Mara and Daniel Craig are. So, I don't know.
Keep going before they get older.
I know, no kidding. And then hopefully Fincher will make it, but I know he demands a lot of money, so they may not have him direct it. Who knows?
Although I will say, it's like, I mean, I get it. He's a really great director, but wouldn't, if you really wanted to make that movie, wouldn't you be like, okay, I don't need that much money up front?
And that's what I'm thinking. I don't.
It's a lot of money. It's like, okay, you couldn't take $5 million.
I don't think he like wants to do it that bad. And I think that's why he asks for a lot of money on it, because he doesn't want to do it. I don't think it's like the top of his list of things to do. And he got to be kind of in charge of the marketing on the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which, let's be real, that trailer was better than the movie.
Yes, it was. That trailer was convinced by the trailer that it was going to be awesome.
Oh yeah, the like Karen O and Trent Reznor cover of the Immigrant Song and the like Feel Bad Movie of Christmas flashing to the I thought that trailer was edited phenomenally.
And then the movie, really awesome trailer.
Yeah, I would agree. I would definitely agree.
So much more amusing than the movie.
Yes, agree. I might have to pull that trailer up later, but yeah. Anything else that's come out this week, like news wise, that have really like popped out at you?
I mean, totally honest, not really. It's been so slow, news-wise.
These last 2 weeks have been pretty rough, both news-wise and films released. I mean, like, The Identical was the only film last week, which is clearly why we didn't do a podcast episode. And this week isn't really much better. But there is at least a bright spot. Fantastic Fest is currently going on.
Yeah, it is. I'm so excited.
Have you seen any interesting films come from there so far?
Well, I can't talk about it if I have, but I can tell you what movies I'm very excited to see.
Ah, do it.
I'm very excited. I know Tusk is premiering like the day before it releases, but I'm very excited to see that because Kevin Smith and co will be there. Justin Long, I think, is, and I just can't wait to figure out if Johnny Depp is finally in this movie.
I've heard he is.
Say at this point. I'm like, I just want to know.
But the when I read, well, I didn't read it. I try not to read the review before I see the movie. But the playlist's review, when it said at the top, said Tusk review starring Justin Long, Haley Joel Osment, and Johnny Depp.
Yes. So then, all right. Well, maybe now that won't be one of the reasons why I go see it. But I'm really excited. I would like to see Kevin Smith talk about the movie because I mean that's like one of the coolest things about it premiering is that he'll be there with Justin Long, and Justin Long, he's an awesome horror actor.
Yes.
He's fun.
Drag Me to Hell.
He's the Jeepers Creepers guy.
That's right, he is in Jeepers Creepers. Oh, man. I always think of Drag Me to Hell, but yeah, that's right, he's in
that. Oh, yeah, he's also in that movie. But I'm excited for that movie. I'm excited. Nightcrawler is going to be the closing film. That's going to be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I know that Jake Gyllenhaal will be there. It's like the U.S. premiere, so I'm guessing a lot of the actors will be there, and then the director, obviously, producers, et cetera, et cetera. But that'll be really cool. Hopefully I can get in. I heard it's going to be on multiple screens, so.
That's good. That's a good sign for you to get in then.
Yeah, and then the Babadook, I'm like so stoked when I saw that on the list.
Babadook.
Have you heard of it?
I have not heard of that. Actually, I did hear about it. Like, somebody said they were really excited for it, and I had no idea what that was.
Oh, because it's been, like, in Europe, it's been premiering at film festivals, I believe, all year. And I don't know which ones exactly, but I know that the buzz from it has been, like, incredible. And it's from Australia, which it kind of makes me a little bit nervous, but it's a female director, which is awesome. And I've seen some really cool pictures from it. Heard some pretty good things. Pretty excited for that one.
Babadook. I'll have to keep that on my radar.
Yeah, definitely. They're showing Housebound again, which I almost want to just go see again.
Yes.
Because I love that movie so much.
Heard such good things. You've been prominent in the promotion of that, I believe.
I have. I'm pretty excited, too, because I really liked this movie. And I've been quoted two different quotes for the movie, so I'm pretty glad that I've been prominent in the promotion, because I totally 100% love this movie, and I can't wait to see it again at Fantastic Fest. I kind of wish that they would have talent there, but I don't think it will, and it kind of bums me out, because I would love to meet anyone behind this movie. I thought it blends like comedy and horror really, really well. Horns is going to be there. Pretty excited for that. I'm actually listening to the audiobook right now.
Nice. I said, oh, nice. The Daniel Radcliffe. He's in that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He won't be there. Boo.
Oh.
actually reading the book. I'm like a quarter of the way through it on my audiobook, but it's a pretty decent book. I feel like the movie looks a lot different though, because it's Alexandra Aja.
Oh, who did The Hills Have Eyes remake and Piranha 3D?
Yeah, well, that's his American stuff. I would also say that he did, what's it called? The one where the girl, I'm not going to give away the ending. The French movie, High Tension.
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, that was like one of his first movies, and that's where he got big. I would say he's done some pretty bad Hollywood ones, though.
Yeah, I would agree.
Horns is not a remake, so, I mean, it's an adaption, but it's not a remake, and I feel like he has more room to play, and I feel like he does better when his movie isn't made into a movie beforehand.
Yeah, sounds like it. Oh, well, yeah, with both Piranha and Hills Have Eyes being the example.
But those are some movies I'm pretty excited for. Oh, and The Tale of Princess Kaguya and Tokyo Tribe. Tokyo Tribe's a new Sion Sono movie, and Tale of Princess Kaguya is a anime by the guy who did the Grave of Fireflies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited for... That is not what the movie is called. It's not The Grave of Fireflies. Hold on, I'm trying to figure it out. But I'm pretty excited for Fantastic Fest. This is a really strong programming. Oh, It Follows is also going to be there, which I've heard a lot of really awesome buzz about that one.
It Follows. I have not heard of that.
It's Grave of the Fireflies, by the way. But It Follows, stars the girl from The Guest, Micah Monroe.
Okay. I still haven't got to see The Guest, unfortunately.
It's supposed to be kind of like a very smart, like, it looks like a haunted house film. I'm not quite sure, though. I'm just, like, inferring from pictures, but it looks really awesome. It says it's been compared to The Ring, Halloween, Jaws.
Ooh, oh, so, those are some... From Within. Those are some strong comparisons.
Right. And you're a Cronenberg fan. They also compared They Came From Within. So a lot of really opposite movies, because I would never compare The Ring and Halloween.
No.
But, like, it apparently borrows from a lot of these movies, which makes me very excited for It Follows.
Nice. Well, just hearing those comparisons, I will check that one out at some point.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's also... To be totally honest, I'm not very excited for ABC's A Death 2 or, like, VHS Viral. Sorry, Drafthouse Films and Tim Sieg, but ABC's of Death 2 is just... I want to, like, pick out the short films I'm excited for.
Right.
Like, the directors of Big Bad Wolves did one, the director of Inside did one, and I'd like to just, like, cherry-pick those.
Yeah, I have no interest in ABC's of Death 2 whatsoever, but VHS Viral... I hope it's good, but I really liked VHS 2 a lot, but we'll see.
Oh, also not excited for Nymphomaniac Extended Edition? No one asked for that.
Nobody asked for that. I don't know, there's some defenders about Nymphomaniac. I mean, they're not poorly reviewed films, but yeah, I don't think I could sit through that.
I can already guess that that's going to be one of the weaker screenings, because it's available on Netflix Instant. You can watch both of them, and this is basically just a cut of both of them together, so you can watch it in one giant 5-hour chunk to your liking.
So it's basically Lars von Trier's, you know, being masturbatory, basically, and just forcing you to watch a longer cut of him.
You're like, this is my director's cut. It's not in two parts this time, and I sent it to Fantastic Fest, because what's a year without Lars von Trier?
Yeah, it was like, oh, here, watch my 5-hour cut of my movie that wasn't really good at 4 hours. But who knows? I don't know. Maybe that extra hour will count. I doubt it, but we'll see.
Well, I know one movie that you'd probably be interested in is a movie called My Life, directed by Nicholas Refn.
Oh, wait, it's the one that's directed by his wife, I believe, right?
Is that his wife?
Yes.
They have different last names, so I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, his wife directed this documentary about him when he was making Only God Forgives.
Interesting.
Yes, I'm really excited. And Cliff Martinez did the score for it. I was just listening to it at a buddy's house the other day when we recorded our other podcast, Over Under, and I was really digging it. So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, I hope we can cover that movie. I mean, I didn't like Only God Forgives. is, but I'm very interested in the movie.
Of the
regardless,
yeah,
oh, I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting, you know, concept for a movie. Whether the movie whether the subject matter film was good or not, depending on who you are.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always like it. So I'm guessing it's a movie about making movies.
A little bit, yeah, and just kind of how it is when he goes away and does a movie, just how it's like, because he can be very like meticulous about his films, so I think it's gonna be interesting. I definitely think it's gonna be very interesting.
Another movie that's interesting to me that I actually didn't know was a remake is called The Town That Dreaded Sundown. I actually watched the trailer. I mean, I'm personally not interested in that movie, but I can't believe it's a remake. I didn't even know this movie existed.
I've never heard of it, either new or old.
Right? Yeah. I found out it was a remake after I posted the trailer, and it's a 1976 movie about a Texas Ranger who hunts for a hooded serial killer in Arkansas.
Mm.
And the remake is, it sounds like it's kind of like a spinoff almost. It's about like 65 years later after this serial killer like terrorized Texarkana. A high school girl is like the key to it. It kind of looks like Friday the 13th or like Halloween, like mask, like boogeyman type thing.
Things that have been done to death already. Yeah. God forbid it be found footage too. Oh, that would be.
Thank the Lord.
That would be the worst. Oh, hey, it's a found footage slasher film. Pass. Don't want it.
Well, I'm surprised they haven't even made, like, Halloween or Friday the 13th into a found footage genre at this point. I'm
kind of surprised they haven't. They'll find a way. They'll find a way.
They'll do it eventually.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Maybe we can do it. Let's make it right.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good stuff this year. A lot of people have been, like, saying it's really strongly programmed. The only thing I'm worried about is that there's, like, at least three movies that premiered at South By, and, like, The Guest is playing there as a quote-unquote special screening, but it's coming out, like, that week. Like, I think a couple days before in select cities.
It comes out Wednesday the 17th.
Yeah. So, I don't know why they're playing it. I mean, I understand why, because Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett, I mean, what, Your Next played at Fantastic Fest forever ago. Mm-hmm.
They seem like they're mainstays of Fantastic Fest, so it makes sense, but...
But it also has been in Austin already, and it wasn't in Austin too long ago, and it played quite a bit, and I think a lot of people who go to, like, Fantastic Fest also go to South by Southwest.
Yeah,
so that makes sense. I don't understand why they're showing it again. They're also showing Open Windows again, and I get it. It's Nacho Vigalondo. It's Elijah Wood. Mm-hmm. Prominent people at South at or Fantastic Fest, but it played at South By.
Is that the one? Oh yeah, that's the one with Sasha Grey in it, right? The like, yeah, he's like a fan of hers, and excuse me, it's like a not a home invasion movie, but like a I don't know how to classify.
It's like a weird twist on
Rear Window
footage.
Yeah,
almost. It's weird.
Have you seen it?
It's definitely creative.
So you've seen it though.
Yes, I liked it. I wouldn't, like, rave about it. I think it's interesting.
Mm.
But, I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best thing I've ever watched either.
Right, that makes sense. But, I mean, Elijah Wood keeps picking really interesting projects to be in. Seems like a lot
of... Nacho Vigalondo isn't... He's not a boring director.
No. He did Time Crimes, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, he is not. And he's doing a segment for VHS Viral, so... hopefully that's good. I don't know. I'm not intrigued by the viral like concept or the, it sounds like the story that's going to link them all together about like teenagers or whatever, trying to be famous through internet sensation. I'm not interested in that whatsoever.
I've never been interested in like the main like story that connects all the stories.
The framework narrative.
Yeah, I always like, they usually don't make sense.
I really didn't like one. And then two was like, I didn't like it, but like the characters weren't as like insufferably nihilistic as they were in the first one. But
it still didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't. It didn't make it at all. Especially the final like shot of what happened. And I'm like, I still don't get it. I just want to watch Gareth Evans's sketch over and over again, or short.
Oh yeah, well.
Yeah.
again, the cherry picking, like ABC's of Death 2. I just want to cherry pick them out. I don't want to have to sit through every single one of them.
I agree. Well, like VHS 2, the thing is, I loved all the shorts. I liked every single one of them. I just didn't like the story that tied them together. So that was, I guess, the better of those type of movies. But I think Viral's probably going to let me down. But I'm still going to see it.
Yeah, well, lots of good things at Fantastic Fest. Lots of boring things in September.
Yeah, this is a pretty weak month, which is disappointing.
Until the Box Trolls comes out, and then it'll be, like, the best month ever.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for that. But, like, in the past, like, September, sometimes unique movies have come out. Like, Drive came out in September the year that it came out, and then The Master and Looper came out in September. So there's usually at least like one or two interesting movies, but the like other than Tusk, I don't see
and the
it.
Box Trolls.
And the Box Trolls. Okay, and the Box Trolls, but like I don't see anything like really that stands out.
No, I would definitely say it's a pretty, but usually that's how it is, like you said, like Drive will come out or Looper, but like it'll be a couple of interesting movies.
Yeah, that's true. So okay, I guess we got a couple. And then Dolphin Tale 2. just saying.
Like no one
just,
saw the Cove.
Just, yeah, no kidding. Just saying Dolphin Tale 2, like, that's a thing. That's a thing in our society. It makes me laugh.
And
yeah,
it's fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, so we are not ragging on it.
Yeah.
Because we haven't seen it.
Yeah, we cannot in good conscience rag on the movie because we have no idea. It might be good, but we won't find out. So anything else that you want to bring up before we close this out?
I mean, I could talk about Doctor Who, but it would be like a very one-sided conversation.
Yeah, it would. Well, I guess as far as shows that are going on right now, I could probably talk about The League as well, and that would be completely one-sided.
Which is why you don't talk about TV shows on this podcast right now.
No, because nobody watches. And then I could talk about The Walking Dead that's coming up soon and how
I can't.
and how inconsistent the series is and how I stopped after season 3. But, yeah, we'll save TV shows for some other time. Anyway, I'd say that concludes our 23rd episode of the Gotcha Movies podcast. As always, you can check out all our news and reviews at gotchamovies.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Gotcha Movies. We're also on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe to us if you enjoy this podcast. Leave a comment and a rating if you can. It helps us know what we're doing right and what we can improve on. Also, if you enjoyed this podcast, you can check out the other podcasts that I host, Over Under Movies, where my two co-hosts, Octa Ege Kozak and Eric McClanahan, each pick an overrated movie and an underrated movie and discuss them. And Jenny's not going to be happy with my next episode of Over Under, so we'll get into that. I'm picking Fault in Our Stars for overrated. Sorry.
No.
Yeah. but anyway, before we sign out, thank you for logging on tonight and doing this episode. I know it was a very like loose, candid episode, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we'll be back next week with our reviews of Tusk, Walk Among the Tombstones, and This Is Where I Leave You. So thanks for listening.
Thank you.